This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. That is Akim St. Ange. Carl Middleman here with you this morning. Sue Thomas has got your traffic. You know, we should have given Sue the morning off, don't you think? Monday morning off, since she'll be so busy on Wednesday morning, Tuesday or Wednesday morning, according to our meteorologist. A little bit of snow coming in. The first wave's not supposed to be so bad. The second one, nobody really knows. And Sue's going to be busy one way or the other when that stuff hits, either in the morning or the afternoon. So see, Sue, if I was your boss, I would have given you today off. So sorry about that. Hopefully you got some sleep last night. If you're a Chiefs fan, our condolences. That was quite a butt whipping by the Philadelphia Eagles. And did anything burn in Philadelphia last night? I'm kind of surprised. I figured there would be fires and all that, whether they won or lost. But I have seen zero coverage of that this morning.
You know, I doubt, by the way, that they will be going to the White House. Because remember when they won, was it back in 2018? They did not go to the White House, which is maybe why Trump said he was rooting for the Chiefs. And that was because Trump had said, you know, you really need to make sure you're standing up for the national anthem, that you're putting your hand over your heart and honoring the men and women who serve our country. And that was just apparently too offensive for them.
Wow.
So I believe that was in part some of the reasons why the players did not want to go.
They've got a new coach, and some, I'm sure, lots of new players on the team from that aren't around from that team. So maybe they go. I can't imagine Trump wouldn't invite them to the White House for that. So he was at the game. I was really surprised, I got to say, that he was the first American president to ever attend the Super Bowl. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, that really surprised me. I mean, they always do go to the Army-Navy game.
Right. Bush was a baseball fan, I know, but he was a sports fan in general. We've had lots of the presidents since 1967 when they started having Super Bowls have been sports fans. I just don't know why he was the first one to go. I imagine there's a little bit of a security issue, maybe.
I don't know, but I bet J.D. Vance was jealous that he got to go because it sounds like Trump put him on a plane to Europe.
Exactly. I can't imagine there was a more secure spot in America than the Superdome last night. They had that place locked down. They had New Orleans locked down through all of this. So we'll continue to get some reaction from the Super Bowl victory last night. I got some sound bites here for you coming up in just a couple of minutes. By the way, you can always download the podcast. Just always good to remind you on our website, 971talk.com. On the Odyssey app, wherever you download your podcast, we podcast each segment of the show. So if you miss something, you can go back and listen to it. Like Hans von Spakovsky reminding me this morning as we ship off a bunch of these illegals that we've captured to Guantanamo Bay to hold them, that it was the first person to do that, the first president to do that was none other than Bill Clinton. Yes. If you guessed who that was, you win the cigar. Bill Clinton is the one that sent illegals to Guantanamo the first time. So that was you can listen to our interview with Hans. It was on about 6:20. We'll have it up on demand on the podcast here shortly. We're going to get to Real or Fake News next. We're going to be coming back at 7:35 and talking to a local mom who is upset with their district's bathroom policies and has already reached out to Attorney General Andrew Bailey. So I'm anxious to see what his reaction is going to be to all of this. We're going to get to that for you coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Right now, Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
For a week. This comes as St. Louis's Hispanic population protests President Donald Trump's efforts to mass deport undocumented immigrants.
Yeah, how about that? No burritos for you. Apparently, they're going to shut down. Now, I don't know who they're hurting besides themselves, but apparently it's some effort to protect the Hispanic community.
He is doing, in the eyes of the public, what he said he would do in the campaign. There's political value in that. In fact, 70% of people say he's doing what he promised.
CNN, I take that back. Margaret Brennan at CBS hated that statistic so much, she tried to question the guy, assuming she had misunderstood him, that what Donald Trump is doing is popular with the American people who expected him to follow through on his campaign promises.
We're going to become a rich nation. Look, we're not that rich right now. We owe $36 trillion. That's because we let all these nations take advantage of us.
Yep, Donald Trump with his Super Bowl interview there with Bret Baier, pointing out everybody's shocked about these tariffs, right? It's about fairness. Today he's going to make the announcement that he's going to level any country that has a tariff against us on any good, he's going to level a similar tariff against them. Why weren't we doing that all along?
It was a huge year for biopics, a complete unknown about Bob Dylan, Maria, about Maria Callas, and Honora, about Melania Trump.
Yeah, if you don't know what Honora was, it was a movie about a prostitute. So Chelsea Handler is one of the most disgusting comedians in America, a true Trump hater, Republican hater for that matter. She's not funny. I don't find her to be funny at all. She used to do a lot of roasts and stuff like that years ago. Which late night show did she host? She hosted a show for a while,
Chelsea
Carl.
Lately.
Chelsea Lately.
It was not good.
It was not good, and it's not on anymore. But she was doing a bit last night and at the Critics' Choice Awards. Was she the MC of that, Carl? Do we know?
She was the host.
So she was the host of the Critics' Choice Awards and made the rude comment about Melania Trump. I don't know what was sadder, that she felt she needed to take a dig at a woman whose IQ is so much higher than Chelsea Handler's. What a gulf that would be, right? Between those IQ numbers, a woman who speaks five languages has been twice the First Lady of the United States of America. But you have to insult her like that simply because she's married to a man that you personally despise. Talk about a low life. Play that bite again, Carl. Play it in its entirety, please.
It was a huge year for biopics, a complete unknown about Bob Dylan, Maria, about Maria Callas, and Honora, about Melania Trump.
Yeah. Isn't it disgusting?
Yeah, I mean, I don't appreciate Chelsea Handler, and she's talked about how amazing it is to be, you know, childless and just how terrible lives are for people who choose to be mothers. And so I've never really appreciated her humor. But yeah, to hate on especially the current First Lady like that is just, you know, you're not a talented comedian, in my opinion, when you have to go for the low hanging fruit. I don't want to say that's an obvious joke, but I'm saying there are obvious jokes or jokes that I'm like, it didn't take that much thought to come up with something like that.
Well, maybe she and Kathy Griffin can go on tour together, since they both hate Donald Trump equally, it seems. Hey, coming up, we're gonna get to Real or Fake when we get back in just a minute. I mentioned a little later, Tom Ackerman will be in here. I'm sure he will have his take on the Super Bowl and how the Chiefs just seem to be completely overmatched in every category last night. We'll get to all that at about 8:35. Stay tuned.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are fighting the fake news.
Real or fake?
Fake. Phony. Fake.
News quiz.
It is time for the Real or Fake News quiz. My name's Carl, and every time that we are on a Monday, which we are not going to be next week, by the way.
For President's Day.
For President's
right.
Day.
Some
right.
of us are.
Oh, Ethan's going to be here. But the winner of the Real or Fake News quiz, where I give headlines, and the three people in the studio have to guess if they are real or fake headlines, the winner gets to pick the music for that Friday, and Kim St. Ange picked the music last Friday, and it was pretty good.
Thanks.
She had some Sinatra in there, some Kojo, she had some Ben Rector.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, do you know any of those names?
Frank Sinatra.
Yeah,
thank
and,
you.
And I even said to Kim, Mark is going to know a couple
Mark
of these
will
songs.
Appreciate a couple of these, yes, indeed.
And he did, but Mark believes he is going to win today.
All right, let's see.
Kim, since you are a returning champion, you'll go first. I have two Super Bowl things that I had left over from last week, and since we've been talking about nothing but the damn Super Bowl, real or fake, Kim St. Ange, soda takes the top spot for preferred drinks at Super Bowl parties. Real or fake?
I will say fake.
Ethan Bright.
I will go real.
Mark Cox.
I'm going to go real.
It is real. 31 states and D.C. prefer soda to beer, spirits, or wine.
Soda with something mixed in it, maybe?
Nope.
No, just
soda.
Plain soda.
You're right. Drinking soda.
I don't
get it either.
All right, let's see.
All right, start that's
tallying,
okay. Carl's got to keep track here.
Especially since Mark got one. So, Ethan Bright, real or fake? We all know the tickets to the first Super Bowl were $6, but they finally, because the tickets were so low, sold it out. Real or fake?
So you're asking, did they sell out the first?
Did they sell out the first Super Bowl? Real or fake?
I'm going to say fake.
Mark Cox.
So are you saying that they did sell it out, or are you asking us if they sold it out?
I'm asking you.
You're saying they sold it out.
I'm professing that they sold it out.
The first Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The first...
1967 Super Bowl, what we now call Super Bowl I.
I will say that that is fake.
I'll say fake.
It is fake. 30,000 empty seats.
Wow.
Even though the tickets were $6.
$6 a piece.
A
well,
piece.
It was brand new.
But that would have been a lot more. I mean, I'm not saying
in
a
1967?
Ton, but, oh, okay.
Still.
Okay, that's like $50 now.
All right. Still.
Mark Cox, let's go to Valentine's Day. And my sources for this are a website called couponbirds.com. So
okay.
People can play along at home if they want to. And because if you question my sources, that is what my source is for this.
Okay. Right.
Real or fake? In Missouri, women prefer Valentine candles as gifts. Real or fake?
Fake.
Kim St. Ange.
I'll say fake.
Ethan Bright.
I think it's weird. I'm going to go true.
It's real. Missouri women prefer candles as their preferred gift. Kim St. Ange.
Kim, would you want a candle for Valentine's Day?
I like candles, though. I've been second-guessing them because I just keep hearing about how toxic they are. So
ask RFK.
Not the point.
Okay.
Kim St. Ange, in Missouri, men prefer high-tech gear for Valentine's gifts. Real or fake?
Who gives someone high-tech gear for Valentine's Day?
Like video games.
Do people even get Valentine's Day gifts? I don't know. Real?
Ethan Bright.
I would say real.
Mark Cox.
I'm going to say fake.
It's real.
Ah.
Damn it, men. Ethan Bright. Nationally, women prefer a romantic night out. Real or fake?
Sure. Yeah, that sounds real.
Mark Cox.
I'll go with real.
We'll say real.
It is real. But number two is not candles. Nevada. Those are the only two states that prefer candles, which I don't get. But that does remind me. Who's hosting with Ethan next week?
Heidi Harris on 97.1 FM Talk.
From Nevada. From Las Vegas, Nevada. Nice.
But number two is jewelry / chocolates. They tied. Mark Cox, real or fake, women in Alaska, their preferred Valentine's gift is a cozy robe. Real or fake?
I'll go fake on that, Carl.
Kim St. Ange.
I'll say real.
Ethan Bright.
Yeah, I'm going to go real.
It's fake.
Ugh.
Sorry. I
had them all up until then.
What is it? What do they prefer?
Oh, that is chocolates.
Bearskin rug?
No, sorry. Mark, is it you? No, it's Kim.
It's Kim.
Kim St. Ange, real or fake? More millennials, that would be the ages of 29 to 44, are in a relationship.
Oh, sorry, Carl.
That's all right. More millennials, 29 to 44, are in a relationship or married than Gen Xers, which would be 45 to 60.
No, I think that fewer millennials are married. I'm sorry, however you phrased it, whichever one that is, real or fake.
What would that be?
Real or fake? More millennials are in relationships / married than Gen Xers.
Oh, you're saying relationships, so that
relationships
means...
/ married.
Okay, so they don't have to be married.
They don't have to be married.
No, people are all about this, like, me. I'm going to focus on me. I don't need a man, so I'm going to say fake.
Ethan Bright.
Real.
Mark Cox.
I'm going to go with fake on that.
It's real?
Ugh.
It's real? You're thinking of the Gen Zers. Gen Zers are not in... They love to be single. The millennials...
I'm a millennial.
Right.
I just figured Gen Xers are all divorced, so...
But get this. It's only by 1%. It's like 70 to 71.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter because... Winning. Ethan Bright got every single one except for one.
Woohoo!
Congratulations, Ethan.
Thank you.
And Ethan said, hey, when I win, I'm going to let you pick the music, Carl. And I said,
oh, you are?
No.
No, that's not how it works.
I don't want that. I want you to pick your favorite songs.
I will. It'll be a lot of stuff you've never heard.
It's Valentine's Day.
Oh.
We should do some Valentine's Day themed stuff.
Love. Love.
Gross.
I don't like a Nat King Cole song, maybe. You know,
should have won then.
L-O-V-E.
I'm playing death metal.
No, are you really?
I think I'm going to be sick on Friday.
You would have enjoyed Conquest the other night. They did a fantastic job.
Heavy death. I hate that type of music. That might be my absolute least favorite type. That's seriously what you like?
I mean, isn't that the point? Is to punish you guys?
No.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That way.
Coming up, we're going to talk about the co-ed bathrooms in the Fort Zumwalt district. Stay tuned. Hopefully, the Missouri Senate is going to give us a solution to this problem. At least it's going to start at the Missouri Senate. This problem of who can use which bathroom. Because so many school districts struggle with passing a school bathroom policy out of fear of lawsuits, right? But I know the Senate has introduced a bill. I think maybe Nick Schroer has introduced a bill that would make sure only biological men use men's rooms, biological women use women's rooms. You solve that solution. You solve the problem that way, right? But Fort Zumwalt has decided that the way to solve that problem is to let anybody use any bathroom. That is called a co-ed bathroom. When I found out about this, I asked one of the parents who drew it to my attention to join us this morning, and Haley Hercules is on the phone with us right now. Haley, thanks for giving me a minute.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I saw your post about this with pictures of said bathroom. This is at Fort Zumwalt North. Is that correct?
That is correct. Fort Zumwalt North.
Yeah. What's your take on this? I mean, I obviously you're outraged by it.
Yeah, of course. So I had actually heard this come up on your show here last Thursday, and we have an eighth grader, and she's special needs. We've taken our boys out, and they're all in private school, but due to the services she needs, she's still in public. And I'm already kind of nervous, just a nervous mom sending her off to high school, and I hear about this, and this just really just makes me so outraged because we're just putting these kids into vulnerable situations and asking for problems when it's not necessary to set it up like this.
Yeah, you know, I looked at the picture of what they've got going on up there. It's it appears to be a fairly spacious room with a double sink in it, and then two stalls, I assume, with doors that close and lock. Are they full-size doors, do we know? Like there's not a gap at the bottom or the top?
Correct. No gap at the top or bottom, which I think presents, you know, a whole other concern for safety protocols and stuff like that.
Yes.
There's actually three stalls to the left and three stalls to the right.
Okay.
And I have been told by the school district that they're actually directing, say, boys to the left and girls to the right. But regardless, everything is visible the second you walk in.
Well,
you know, it's just kind of like they're backtracking to make excuses for their poor choices.
And let's be real, if the line's longer on one of the sides, then it seems like it would just make sense the kids would try to use the other side. So I feel like there would be mixing. Haley, I did see something a friend of mine commented on. It looked like maybe an email from the superintendent of the district who seemed to be actually empathetic and was saying something along the lines of, I've heard your concerns, we're looking into this. And it almost made it seem like they were instructing students to no longer use that restroom until they can figure out a better solution.
That is correct. Yes, I did finally, after constant persistent emails back and forth to the district, the superintendent did reach out to me after I had informed them. I had contacted the Missouri Attorney General's office. I immediately got an email back from the superintendent, and he did say that they are going to currently restrict access to that bathroom until they can find an alternative solution.
Wow.
So that's now, good. I think we're going to make it places, which is great, but then now we're still going to spend more money to fix a situation that we shouldn't have allowed to happen.
Well, that's what I'm laughing about. It's a beautiful bathroom. I mean, they clearly spent a lot of money to set it up the way they did. The school board did all this. I assume they had to vote on it publicly. People knew it was coming. They thought this was a good idea at some point.
Yeah, and to be honest, I've spoke to a few board members, and I don't know that this was made as clear to them on the exact setup. I'm still doing some digging here and going back to some board meetings because, I mean, I think these plans were introduced maybe even prior to some of the board members coming on.
Well, you know, you said you heard me talking about this last week. I was with a friend of mine who's a teacher at a local public school district who told me that they did try to accommodate people who wanted a single stall bathroom. It was a former teacher's bathroom only. They kept it locked all the time. The teachers are the only ones that had keys. They finally opened up the door and let any student who felt like they needed to use a single stall bathroom use that bathroom. And immediately what happened was they found two kids in there having sex. So there are a lot of issues here with allowing kids to intermingle and then in a bathroom where they can go behind closed doors.
100%. I mean, going back just to my teenage years, I'm sure we all can agree. We all made choices that we look back on now and are like, oh, darn it.
Yes.
I just think we're tempting these children, but more so, you know, it's pushing this agenda to make this stuff seem normal to our kids and normalizing all of these things. So I mean, they want them to accept it as they get older. You know what I mean? It's just, it's not okay.
Yeah. Haley Hercules is our guest. She's a parent in the Fort Zumwalt district. What was the reaction from Attorney General Bailey's office? Have you heard back?
I have not heard back from them. I contacted them Friday morning, so I'm sure they've had quite a bit of stuff going on. But for all I know, perhaps they reached out to the district, and that's why I heard from our superintendent, you know. So I will definitely keep you posted when I do hear back from Attorney General Bailey's office.
You know, you said something, Haley, that I think will resonate with a lot of parents in different school districts, and that was that you're not really sure how clear this was made to parents. So many parents, I feel like, are blindsided by some of these decisions, and they're paying for it. As taxpayers in a district, whether you have kids there or not, you're funding these projects that a lot of people don't even agree with. So, I mean, have you felt like this is a pattern where the district is just not really been very clear about some of these big decisions that have been made?
I mean, I try to stay as informed as I can, and I think my eyes were really open during COVID. So I feel like I definitely follow things closer, and I would encourage every parent to do so. I think it's so easy for us to get discouraged because maybe you don't feel like your voice is being heard, or maybe you're just kind of being shut down. But I kind of felt like the door kept being shut last week, and I just was persistent, and I think we're finally making steps in the right direction. So I just urge parents to get involved and be persistent and know right from wrong and stand up for what's going to make your children's world a better world.
Yeah, well, thank you for having the guts to do it. You know, a lot of times parents say, yeah, I'd like to speak up about that, but you know, my kid's going to take grief at school if I do that. I mean, there's always concern about that. I mean, peer pressure, bullying, that sort of thing.
Absolutely, 100%. Well, I very much appreciate you guys bringing light to this. I think you guys and your show has done a great job kind of exposing, you know, the woke culture that they're basically pushing onto our children. And it's just very unfortunate that they're now allowing it to happen within our schools as well.
Yeah, what a shame. Haley Hercules, listen, thank you for giving us some time and bringing this to our attention. When you hear from Andrew Bailey's office, if you do, please reach out and let me know.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on, Mark. I hope you guys have a great day.
You bet. We sure will. Thank you very much. It does take guts to stand up for something like that because I'm sure she's taken a lot of hate on her Facebook page and from people who disagree with her. But yeah, I mean, the fact that they've shut it down shows that your voice can make a difference. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, Josh on Facebook is saying that Edwardsville High School in the Metro East has a new gender neutral bathroom. And that, see, just like I was saying, I think so many parents are in this position where their districts, their schools are making these decisions and you kind of feel like it came out of left field. I'm sure there was some discussion of it, but let's not be, you know, let's acknowledge the fact that there are some shady things that can go on in some of these districts, very shady things, that some of these discussions that are meant to be public, legally have to be public, right? But they're not. They're having closed door discussions about some of these things that have a very big impact on your children. Well, and that's very frustrating for parents or as a taxpayer who doesn't even have children, but cares about making sure that this crap, for a lack of a better word, is not pushed on their family.
I think of the difference. And Haley brought it up in our discussion there over the last few years. COVID made a world of difference in the transparency of what's going on in these districts. A lot of parents might have never gone to a school board meeting or paid any attention to any of this prior to COVID. And they got a glimpse briefly of what was going on in the classroom, and it woke a lot of them up. And I'm glad that a lot of people are paying more attention these days. I'd be interested to know that co-ed, the bathroom he's talking about over in
Edwardsville.
In Edwardsville. Is that a gender-neutral bathroom, like one bathroom, or is it something wide open like they've done in Fort Zumwalt where you walk in, there's two sinks and multiple doors, you know, like what's behind door number three,
mm-hmm.
you don't know. And you know, I'll speak for my wife, but her biggest concern when we're traveling and having to use a bathroom at one of these places is if a guy's been in there, they tend to be messier than women. You don't want to share the same facilities often,
yeah.
Right?
Bindi's making a good point, too, saying, remember this in April when school board elections take place. So
Thank
many of
you.
These people feel like school board elections are not that important. It's just, you know, another day where you have to take time out of your busy schedule to go and vote and stand in a line. But you know what? Though so few people vote, sadly, on those elections, that the lines are usually non-existent. And you get right in and you're out. And that can make such a big difference. Those
yeah.
are so critical. And yeah, obviously, Mark, you've done a good job of pushing the importance of that, but people need to wake up.
People do need to wake up. We need to move them to fall so we're not in low voter turnout situations. Yeah. One of my friends texted me a minute ago and pointed out that the Edwardsville School District passed unisex or gender-neutral bathrooms a while back. So
how long? I mean, how many, like, years ago before all this transgender stuff really took off? And by the way, Josh is saying yes to answer your question, I guess. So it sounds like it is a similar setup.
Yeah. Well, it's unfortunate. Get out and vote. You got another one coming up in 6 weeks. You have an opportunity to impact your local school board. Research the candidates. Find the ones that stand up for common sense and parents and values. And not just the slate that the NEA has endorsed, whoever that happens to be. Please pay attention. So important. Kim, what are we talking about on Kim on a Whim?
Well, as I was watching the Super Bowl last night, there was a commercial that really caught my attention, and that was this push for girls flag football to become a varsity sport nationwide.
Yes. All right, we'll talk about it coming up.
Kim on a Whim.
Let's go, let's go! Get down, get down. Come on.
Okay,
there you go. Yeah.
Ooh, little girl bad. Oh!
Enough! Let's settle this once and for all. Your best guy?
Girl.
Whatever. Versus our best guy.
Did you see that commercial yesterday?
I did not.
That aired during
the
Super Bowl?
Highlights of it this morning when I was looking through some of these commercials.
The actual full length of it is 2 minutes long.
Wow.
But the NFL is basically pushing for this idea that they want girls flag football to become a varsity sport nationwide. To be honest with you, so I played in the Powder Puff game when I was in high school, and I'm sure that's called different things, you know, where the girls play football and the football players are cheerleaders. And that was so much fun. I remember I got an interception and I was so proud of myself and I had a blast. But I enjoyed playing sports. I played lacrosse all 4 years in high school. I played basketball. I think I was in eighth grade, but I played basketball for a year. I've enjoyed sports, but I would never be interested in playing like on an actual organized team flag football in high school. I just have to wonder how many girls would be interested in enough where they could make it a true team. I don't know how many players you have to have for a flag football game, but I imagine enough, like, you know, 15 plus, right?
Sure.
To form a team.
Or if you only have 15, they're all going to be playing
non-stop.
Both ways. Non-stop.
So,
right.
And that's a lot of running. I just wonder, and any women listening, I'd be curious if this is ever something you would be interested in, your daughters, men. Do you think your kids, your daughters would be interested in this? Maybe I'm wrong. Prove me wrong. I'm not saying I'm fully against it. I just don't think, it just seems like it's this idea that, like, if you offer it to the men, you have to offer it to the women.
Yeah, but you don't offer it to the men.
Well, they don't have flag football.
Right. The flag football is not a varsity sport. Nobody wants to watch it. No crowd is going to go sit in the stand. That's why it's so stupid that's what they do at the All-Star game now. They play flag football with NFL players. Nobody wants to see that. And you're not going to generate an audience out of it. It's a waste of resources. I'm sorry. It just is. And I know Title IX's out there to certainly guarantee that if you are putting these resources into this sport, you have to put these. Flag football is not a sport. I go ahead and get mad at me. It's not a varsity sport.
I think it's a sport. Yeah, I just don't know if enough people would be interested. And then you would have the people complaining that you're not giving us enough attention. Well, you can't force people to sit. What are you going to do? Glue their butts to the seat and take toothpicks and put their eyes open? I mean, you can't force people to be into a sport.
Well, I'm not saying that there wouldn't be some interest on the part of some girls who might like to do it.
Well, the parents would be interested to watch their kids play, but that might be the extent of it.
Shoehorning it into a varsity sport that takes school resources away, I don't know. They have enough trouble paying for and filling out some of the sports teams as it is.
Well, and how does that work? And, you know, this is just my own ignorance about this, but let's just, you know, for argument's sake, say that this were to happen, which I don't think it ever will. But does there have to be like some sort of like state, and is there federal funding with this, or would it all come from the school? How does that typically work?
I think it's all
from the school.
So schools are already, like you said, very strapped for resources, and now they have to fund this too?
Yes. I mean, maybe at the college level, Title IX provides some extra funding to make sure that but I think maybe it was ultimately done to force universities to spend the same amount or to provide the same opportunities for some sports that you would get with men's basketball and football. And those two sports are the breadwinners.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that create the income to allow the schools to pay for those other sports that would never, ever support themselves. I love my daughter, my oldest daughter, endlessly. But she was a swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
And the only people that went to those meets were the parents watching their kids swim.
Yeah.
Because they're 8 hours long, and your kid might swim 3 times in 8 hours, and nobody else would go sit through that to watch people they don't know.
Well, same for my lacrosse games. It was all the parents or the relatives. Bernie on Facebook makes a good point. Just making the comment. I graduated high school in 1979. I begged for a flag football team for the girls, and then Lisa says started as a club sport and see what the interest would be.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a bad idea because club obviously would be different, but to force schools to actually fund this, I don't know. I just feel like this always
first world problems.
Yeah,
right. I mean, that's basically what we're talking about.
I think would be interesting to watch would be like an apple dunking, like a bobbing for apples thing, where like it's almost like an assembly. You know, you have people lined up, and once one person gets the apples, the next person goes. I would sit and watch that actually as a sport. Why don't we make that a sport? That would be more entertaining.
You're funny.
To me.
Than women's flag football?
It's not even just women's flag football. Probably men too.
Yeah. The world is going crazy for sure. Coming up, Jesse Jane Duff on the president's big round of applause last night at the Super Bowl. And we'll get to Tom Ackerman on the big game and the Eagles' victory. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.